In her foreword to March With Me, Rosalie Turner says a major motivation for writing the novel was, quote, the fact that most people in our country today have either forgotten or never knew about the Children's March, end quote, in Birmingham in April of 1963. Considering all the attention given to the civil rights semi-centennial, this initially seems hard to believe. We have heard just as much about the Beatles' arrival in America 50 years ago as we have Dr. King's efforts to desegregate Birmingham, but no one is claiming that Americans don't remember the Beatles' appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. Sadly, however, many have forgotten, or in the case of young people, never considered the issues and events taken up in this short novel. Turner first provides a thumbnail history lesson of the movement in Birmingham, the planning sessions with Reverends Abernathy and Shuttlesworth, the mass meetings, especially those where Reverend James Bevel fired up the youth, the goals of the marchers, to integrate lunch counters and get blacks hired. But all this is historical backdrop for the real story, which runs along two parallel lines, and that is a big part of the point. Parallel lines don't intersect. Letitia Robinson, a black teenager in the spring of 1963, along with her brother Sam, is caught up in the movement and marches. Blasted by the hoses, she is only slightly injured, but the anger she already feels is exacerbated to a nearly crippling degree. Martha Ann Pierce is a white teen in Vestavia Hills, and as the plot demands, Letitia's mom works in the Pierce's house 2 days a week. Mrs. Pierce calls Letitia's mom Willa, but insists on being called Ms. Pierce, and her daughter, Miss Martha Ann. Once Letitia goes to Vestavia to help her mom to Martha Ann's gigantic birthday party, where Martha Ann wears a corsage of white roses with 16 streaming ribbons, and tied to the end of each ribbon is a cube of sugar. Sweet 16. Gag. Add to this that Letitia receives Martha Ann's cast-off clothes, nice clothes, but still humiliating for her. When Martha Ann and her friends are warmish and not at their pool, they cool off in the backyard sprinklers. What the two girls do share is ignorance and mistrust. Each in her unicolored world has no notion of what goes on in the other. Letitia mistrusts all whites. Martha Ann, with her racist father, knows little of black life in Birmingham. Years later, April 1975, these two end up teaching in the same Bessemer school and still never speak meaningfully until they are literally pinned down side by side in the rubble of a tornado. Whereas a lot of the dialogue earlier in this novel had the woodenness of bad playwriting, obvious exposition to fill in the backstory and bring the audience up to speed, this conversation, powered by mutual terror, seems real. Now in their 20s, the two actually talk and tell the truth, reveal their angers and fears. They expose their prejudices and preconceptions about the other, and they are the better for it. This is clearly the kind of discussion Turner, optimistically, wants her book to provoke, but it seems as distant a goal today as it did 50 years ago.